right. Well, here we are, episode 3. Man, this is exciting. This is fun. Now, if y'all are going to hear, we're absent a voice today. Nick is being a dad. And aww. So he is, Ava, I believe, had a little injury. And so he's having to help take care of her through that. And he's preaching tonight because it's Thursday. So he's going to be covering that up. But hey, I am excited. In fact, we were talking about this. We've got the Gibson County trifecta here.
We do. Wow. We do.
We do. We've got Dixie Trenton. Lovett, Trenton.
Hometown.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then we have Jenna Greenup Valter.
That's right. New last name.
New last name. The newlywed in the room from?
Humboldt,
Tennessee.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And I lived in Milan for a little bit. That's where I met Brittany. Mm-hmm. Worked in Milan. But my family, my mom's family, is all from Edison.
Okay.
Out by Fruitland.
Mm-hmm. Fruitland. So.
And there's actually an Edison school that's still there.
That's exactly right. A little schoolhouse. Mm-hmm. Yep. We actually used to have family reunions in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I have a picture of it recently. Like last year, I had to stop because, you know, my grandson's name is Edison. And I was like, I've got to take a picture of this for him.
That's right.
He could put it on his wall.
Now, across the street from there used to be an old country store.
Yep.
And we would actually load up and you get a dollar and you'd load up, go down there and you just get a sack full of candy as a kid. Mm-hmm. So back in the day.
Back in the day.
Back in the day, man. Mm-hmm. Love that stuff. All right. So, hey, tell us about Newlywed. What about it? Right? You still kind of have a glow about you, right?
Thank you. Thank you.
Kind of tell us what was it like for you? What was your experience on it?
Well, thank you. Well, first, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
This is such an honor to be with you guys today.
trust me, it's amazing.
I was like, I get to have ribs and talk about, you know, groups. This is exciting.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So, yeah, I have been married, I guess it's almost 2 weeks now. 2 weeks on Saturday.
Yeah.
If you were to ask my husband, he would know the exact date and time breakdown because he's very thoughtful and kind like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, almost 2 weeks, and it feels like time is flying by, and it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was at the ceremony. It was beautiful.
Thank you.
Jenna was a beautiful bride.
Thank you. Aww.
And Christopher was a very handsome and excited groom. It was all great. But I do have a question.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Here you go. You get married and everybody knows after the wedding comes the honeymoon. So my question is what was the best part of the honeymoon for you?
Oh my gosh. Can I say the food?
Yeah.
Twice?
Yeah. Sure you can.
Where'd y'all go?
Well, we went to St. Pete. And that is near Tampa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And beautiful weather. We were there for 4 days.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And we stayed at the Don Caesar, which I'd never heard of this.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay.
Apparently, it's one of the most haunted, it's like on a haunted list.
Oh, wait. So
I did not know
for
this.
For your honeymoon,
did not know this.
You went to a haunted house.
But it's beautiful.
Well, haunted hotel. But yes.
Yes.
You
but
went
it's
to
beautiful.
A haunted hotel.
Yes, it is beautiful.
For your.
We did.
Well, St. Pete's pretty anyway.
Wait a second. Who's that? Was he like, okay, did y'all do the traditional thing where he didn't tell you where you were going?
No. Well, he mentioned it.
Uh-huh.
He planned the entire thing.
I wanted to hear how that conversation went. So,
well,
hey, honey. I got this amazing romantic thing.
A great price.
Don't mind the ghost in the walls.
But it's haunted.
It's a great price.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
We can stay longer, but it's haunted.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
Haunted. The
price line really came through on that one. No, I don't know how we were able to book it for such a good price, but.
Well, no, it's hilarious because we didn't find this information out until halfway through the trip. And, I mean, had he known that up front.
After we started hearing voices at night.
Hey, this is even getting better.
He would have booked it for longer because he has such an adventurous spirit.
Yeah.
Like, ghost hunting seems like just a fun time for him. Mm. So had he known that on the front, we'd probably stay for 2 weeks.
The ghost honeymoon.
Yes. Yes. But fortunately, he did not know that on the front half. So we only stayed for 4 days.
Well,
we did not see ghosts.
But there all was no joking aside.
Y'all were out on the beach the whole time, right?
Basically.
Yeah.
But all joking aside, it's a beautiful hotel.
And have you stayed
city.
There before?
Well, I used to live in Tampa, so I'm very familiar with
but
the place.
But you never stayed there, though.
No. I mean, why would I? It's like
you live
minutes
from
my house.
Okay. You know?
But the beach, that area is where we would always go to the beach, that St. Pete and Clearwater area. So,
But they call it the Pink Palace.
Yeah.
Because it's pink.
Yeah, it's
pink. And
it's
so when you drive up to it, it's this like grand just experience. You're like, where
like
am I?
Like a stucco sided. Yeah.
But there's ghosts.
But there's ghosts.
But there's ghosts.
We
and
did,
sand.
We didn't.
And
yes.
ocean.
Yes. Yes. The beach was great. It was scheduled to rain all week and it didn't.
Hey.
So Lord provides.
Perfect.
Right?
There,
yeah,
you
so,
yeah,
right.
There you go. There you go. Now, are y'all doing a. Had I heard y'all doing like another trip later on, or is this?
Yeah, so we knew we wanted to get away somewhere right after we got married. So we went there for 4 days, but we're going to do somewhere international, maybe in the fall.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So, yeah, I love the beach. Yeah. And he loves me, so
that's a good thing. Yeah, that's usually the way it goes, you know. I mean, when Mickey and I go to the beach, he knows I love the beach, so he has his umbrella. Mm-hmm. He stays under the shade and read, and I'm out in the sun. I love it.
So that's why I am.
Are y'all beach sitters or are y'all active beach goers?
A little bit.
That matters.
I can only sit for a period of time.
Okay.
And then I can't stand it. So.
I mean, I'm probably a little bit of both, depending. I mean, if I'm reading something good or sleeping. Uh-huh. I mean, like.
Sleeping.
You know, we're.
I do that too.
Sleepwalking on the beach.
It's really good sleeping on the beach.
It really is.
If it's not too hot, it's really good.
Yeah. The problem is I snore. And so, you know, I can't
get
be like.
Get your CPAP out there. Yeah. Get your battery pack. CPAP on your face. I can just see it now.
Yeah. I'm like waking everybody up on the beach, you know. Oh, who's this guy? It? You know, where you have like 30, you know, umbrellas next to each other and everything.
Yeah.
Britt, I think, could sit on the beach every day, all day long.
Yeah, that's me.
You know, and that's, you know, that's fine. That's fine. You know, I'll walk, play around, you know, do stuff like that. So, yeah.
I could literally lay there 9 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
Lunch provided to you at the chairs. I could do that. He's not. He is so active. He just wants to go and do and explore. And so we did.
Oh, really?
I love him.
Yeah. Good. See, it's a give and take, right? It is.
I mean, by 4 o'clock, I was like, wow, we have kayaked. We have looked for shells.
You're like, I need a nap with a ghost.
Right.
Leave me alone. I'm going to go sleep with a ghost for a little bit. Man, come on, Chris. Let a girl just chill out. All right. So, hey, let's give some worst marriage advice and best marriage advice.
Oh, my goodness.
To Jenna.
The wisdom.
Know,
and, I'm here for
you. Yeah. We are here to help you.
Thank you.
Oh,
more than anything else.
You should have prepared me for this.
So, I'm going to take, I'll just say worst marriage advice.
Oh,
okay.
Good.
And I mean, this is kind of serious. I mean, but anyways, I'll just say some people will try to say marriage is to be 50-50.
And that's I'll just what say, I was thinking. You stole mine.
See, when you're sitting where I am, you get to just say all the stuff first. So marriage is to be 50-50. Terrible advice. It's 100-100, right?
It is.
It's
100%
all the time. You're going to have some days where you feel like, well, you know, I should just go, you know, halfway, whatever. He ought to meet me halfway, whatever. No. It's 100% all the time, anytime. So that I would say that's the worst marriage advice. People thinking it's just a 50-50 thing. And here, I would say here's the best marriage advice. Never stop dating your spouse.
Oh, that's good.
Never stop dating your spouse. I mean, Britt and I, like, we're even looking forward to this weekend. The girls are going to go stay the night with a friend, and we're planning our date. You know, I mean, so you just got to take – and what's great, they're starting to get the age where
– they see y'all dating each
they
other.
They can see us dating. And, you know, we're going to do some things, you know, here and there where they're kind of getting the age where they can stay at the house.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're going to go get some ice cream or something like that every now and then. Who knows, you know, but.
So what does that look like on a week-to-week basis? Do you set aside, like, you know, a day a week? Is it like a monthly activity? What do y'all do to kind of prioritize that?
Yeah, I think you got to. You know, you kind of take it whenever it comes, you know, and take advantage of those opportunities, you know, especially, I mean, you know, I mean, kids always kind of throw a little bit, you know, into that. But I mean, when you do have those chances, you can just stop. Now, for us, even on Fridays, that's my day off. And that's whenever the girls are in school. And so we'll go usually get breakfast on Fridays.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And so that's kind of our date time. You know, just us. And so nine times out of 10, you'll find us at Cracker Barrel.
Oh, yes.
On a Friday morning.
She had that in her wedding reception.
Yeah.
We had Cracker Barrel breakfast.
Yeah.
Breakfast catered my wedding.
Yeah.
That's family.
Did you get
tradition.
The hash brown casserole?
Oh, 100%.
Yes.
Loaded
you have
hash
to.
Brown casserole?
Yes.
With onion, it had cheese.
Yeah.
Cheese.
And great bacon and scrambled eggs and biscuits and gravy. I mean, it was great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Great. We love Cracker Barrel. Yeah. We go there for every holiday. So, yes, Cracker Barrel fans.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So, never stop dating each other, no matter what. All right?
Yeah.
What would you say, Dixie?
So, I'm going to say, too, it's not 50-50. I believed that lie when we first got married, and so there was a little bit of conflict because, you know, everybody's supposed to meet halfway, but that's not always, that's not even biblical.
Right.
But, so that was not super good advice. The best advice that we got is actually at our wedding reception, and an older lady that I respected quite a lot came up to me and said, don't ever go to bed angry. Mm. And so we have practiced that. You know, the other thing, because we've been married, it'll be 43 years, 42 years in August. And so I had to do some math really quick. When you've been married that long, you definitely have to do math. But anyway, one of the things that we have always done, and it's kind of unfortunate for Mickey, is that we communicate. I like to talk. I'm an outward processor, so I have lots
really?
Of words.
I didn't know that.
How can you imagine? You get it sometimes too here, don't you, Joseph? But anyway, it has been very important and good in our marriage to communicate, you know, to always communicate. So we've just talked things out when we started having kids. When something comes up, we just talk it out and get it out there, and then we're done with it, you know. So that's always a good thing. And as far as dates, they're great, but at our age, in our season of life, when our kids are gone, we have grandkids, and it's just
every day is a date for
every
y'all.
Day is a date. Now, you can only date so much, and then you need a break. So, you know,
so
we're just
a break from dating.
Yes. So, but I say that jovially. We really do enjoy doing things together. We do everything together, just about. But we do have our times when he's hanging out with his guy friends and I'm with my girlfriends and things like that. So it's always a good thing. But yeah, marriage is good. It's God's plan. It's wonderful. Yep.
Just some good advice. Good tips.
What would you say is some good advice that you heard kind of going into wedding, marriage, all that stuff?
Yeah. A couple told us to always be, always try to outserve one another. Mm-hmm. And so he is a very literal human. And so he's taking that very seriously. So,
okay.
It's become, and he is very competitive.
Okay.
In a healthy way.
Gosh.
Like so competing against you and serving, like I'm going to outserve you?
A little bit.
Oh, okay.
A little bit of that. And so it's been fun to see, to watch him like flourish in that. And it is an encouragement to me to continually be serving him. So he's much better at it than I am. But it's been fun. It's been fun. Yeah.
Good. Well, once again, we are here to help
one another.
And
that's right.
A part of that, what we want to do is we want to just kind of share a little bit, just some random facts, you know, that I think these are just kind of interesting. Some of them may have direct application. Some of them may not by any kind of means. But just some things always just to kind of remember. And just kind of weird things just sometimes. Yeah, I like looking up weird facts. I don't know about y'all. You know, I would listen to different podcasts, and sometimes you hear different things. You just kind of go, okay, that was interesting. I didn't know that happened, you know, and all that. But, so did you know that grapes, Dixie, why are you already laughing?
Because.
Did you know that grapes light on fire in the microwave?
And I usually have grapes, and I didn't have any to try, but I'm going to try this.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm
well,
going
I
to.
Well, let me just probably need to put a word of caution out there.
Maybe I'll put it
do
under
not
a
do
glass
this.
Ball. Just in case. I'll put it under a glass
ball.
I would
like be careful about this, but apparently they have found out that grapes light on fire. Now, I think the test would maybe be to find out if it's a green or a red grape, which one lights
on
fire first.
I'll do that too. I'm a scientist by nature.
Yes.
I'm going to evaluate all variables.
There you go.
Yeah, and I'll report back.
Scientific method. Here we go.
Yep,
did you know that McDonald's once created bubblegum flavored broccoli?
Oh, that's just gross.
Why?
That's just gross.
Just why?
They wanted to encourage kids to eat more broccoli. And so they created bubblegum flavored broccoli.
Well, my secret with that broccoli and kids was I called them trees and I would dip them in ranch dressing and say, There's snow on the tree. Smart. Eat your tree.
Snow on the tree.
Yep.
That's pretty smart.
It worked. Yep.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. It actually was a complete failure in 2014.
Yeah, I would think so.
So I believe that. 8 years ago. Oh, my. I mean, too. So kind of keeping with chewing gum. Did you know that chewing gum is actually banned in Singapore?
Hmm. No, but it should be banned everywhere. unless you put it in a trash receptacle.
Do you remember that scene in Elf? Where he's in New York City, and he starts finding the gum the rails.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, that's the other gross thing.
Yeah. Yep. No.
Mm-mm. Can't go there.
Did you know the average U.S. household has 300,000 things in it?
I believe that.
I mean.
Probably. That seems like an awful lot, but if you look at every little teeny tiny thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Then it would probably add up.
Yeah, I would say 200,000 things are in Britney's closets. So.
I bet.
And majority of those are shoes.
I bet. I was going to say that about Nick. Yeah. I bet Nick's closet, there's 300,000 things in their shoes. I love you, Nick, but I had to say it.
Well, you know, probably, you know, what's lowered that number is, what's her name? Marie Kondo?
Yeah, the organization.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Simplify. Yeah. Have you all done any of that?
Toss it out. Yeah.
Toss it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did you mainly toss out?
Before we moved to Murfreesboro, about 2/3 of our belongings. So mm-hmm. I basically picked out my favorite things.
Yeah.
And pretty much everything else.
Said, let it go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. And did you sell it?
Some of it. Yeah. Well, actually, a lot of it did. And on Facebook, that was a really
Facebook
thing.
Marketplace. Yeah. Watch out.
We sold a tractor on Facebook. That's really
what?
Strange, too. Yeah. But anyway, it's another story for another time. But because we were first in an apartment, we had to store things. And so even when we moved into our townhome and unloading all the boxes, I even got rid of more because I had been without it for a year and hadn't missed it. So,
yeah.
It's easier.
Jenna, let's kind of talk about, because y'all have now conglomerated.
Yes.
Y'all brought your stuff together.
Oh.
So how much stuff did Chris actually get to bring into the house?
Well, that's funny that you mentioned that, Joseph. Thank you for that. He's going to be listening to this. So fun.
Hi, Christopher.
No, well, we moved into his house. And mm-hmm. so we both owned our own homes. And so I moved into his. We're renting mine. And he is somebody who doesn't keep a lot of things anyway. He's pretty minimal. But he had quite a few. He had a lot of clothes.
Mm.
And so a couple weeks before, he was purging.
Yeah.
And
Marie Kondo in it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I went through my things and removed a few items. And so.
Wait. What's, how many is a few?
Well.
Like that.
Let's just say I now have the master closet.
You have the master closet.
Okay, so let me back up and give some context. So for Christmas, he was very generous, and for his Christmas gift to me, he redid his closet because he knew I was going to be moving in.
Yeah.
And so he redid his closet.
Out-serving you. There you go.
Yes. That is just a small glimpse of just the major things that acts of love that he does. But he built a closet, and so I did purge some of my things, but, you know, as a single girl who is in the workforce, you know, I have a lot of clothes, and this is sounding really terrible right now. I should go home and get rid of those.
Please keep going. This is great.
Yeah, I think it is.
We are so intrigued by this.
But no, he got down to, like, 5 pair of, like, workout clothes, and I was like, listen, I know I'm moving in, but you don't have to get rid of all your clothes. Like, we have 2, you know, spare bedrooms. We can hold the things, all the things, right? And he's like, no, we're gonna purge. So, it's still in process. The shoes is the main kind of obstacle. Where do you put all the shoes?
Mm-hmm.
You
know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my issue. I should ask
Nick. He could probably give me some advice.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Christopher can just in one of the spare bedrooms. Build a closet out.
I have a feeling that a spare bedroom is going to become a closet.
Hey,
that's
so
not. That's
just,
not.
That,
it's not
that
a bad idea.
Just walk in.
Not a bad idea. Oh, gosh.
Does it have a window in that room? Because, see, it's great lighting. See? Make it a closet.
Yeah.
Great lighting.
It could be, you know, getting ready room. That's smart. Mm-hmm. Good advice.
Yeah, our closet situation is I walk in and I have.
Give a slither.
I have a place to the left. You know, like if it was 4/5, I'd have a fifth.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, there's the other 4/5 to to Britt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, which, I mean, she looks good. She always does, you know. So I think she won, like, best dress in high school. Mm-hmm. And so she carries mm-hmm. that forward, mm-hmm. you know, pretty well. So, but anyways, yes, 300,000 things. Always great. Hey, kind of talking about shortages that's happening around the world. Did you know that in the city of Iga in Japan, they are actually experiencing a ninja shortage? Hmm. They have paid ninjas there, and they're actually willing to pay just, you know, just in case, you know, down the road anybody's ever looking for a job. They're actually paying up to $85,000 starting pay to go to that city and be a ninja.
Listen, I just want you to know, when Christopher and I were reading through those, he paused on that and got so excited. He was like, you mean to tell me, like the money, like the monetary, well, that was not even a consideration. You mean to tell me I can be a ninja? Like that can be a occupation that I can have? Yes, he got so excited. I was like, hi, but Japan, we'd have to relocate our families. There's a lot of things to consider here, you know?
Exactly.
I like to see their work comp insurance.
I was just thinking,
a lot
like,
of liability.
Could this be a weekend job? I'm thinking, how long does it take you to get to Japan, and how much time do you have to acclimate to the uh-huh. time change? And could you do it like
a weekend job?
Yeah, like a 3-day weekend job or something.
Be on contract. I'm a contract ninja.
I'm a contract ninja.
Put that on Craigslist.
I can see it now.
Contract ninja.
A little red headband around me. You know, mm-hmm. My little, what are those things called? Nunchucks.
Yeah,
so. I can see it now. Yep.
Did you know bubble wrap was originally invented as wallpaper?
Well, I've often used it as carpet because one of my favorite things to do is to pop bubble wrap.
Yes.
And to walk across it and pop it.
It's very therapeutic.
It is.
Uh-huh. I think that's where the pop it things have come
Probably.
About mm-hmm. for all the kids. They're mm-hmm. like, you know.
Which I like those too.
You know, addicted to those things. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's, yeah. Yeah. I could not imagine putting that up, though, in my house.
Well, how would you keep it from popping?
Well, I mean, you know, when you get
the
to
the installation process.
Well, yeah, then it's like eventually it's going to run out of fun. You know, you're like, popped
Well, one
all
of the
it.
Things that y'all have to look forward to as the Lord allows you to age is like when you get up in the morning, sometimes you like stagger around a little bit. So I could just see myself like bumping into the corner trying to make my way to the bathroom.
And scaring yourself.
Yes, and those things popping. Yeah. Oh, that's a rude awakening. Oh, well.
Oh, man. The things that we learn here. Well, listen, hey, let's get to our discussion real quick. First, last week we talked about how to connect in groups. And, you know, we're talking about somebody that's in one way is you're outside looking in. And so when you're outside kind of looking in, you know, it's important to know, don't be scared of groups, right? This isn't a place where like weird things happen or anything like that. It really can become the highlight of your week. I mean, I think about the groups that I'm in. I mean, it's a highlight of the time that I'm in there. But once you're in a group as well, right? How do we build those connections? Well, you're building connections as you're building trust, right? As I trust you more, as I'm availing my life to you more and more, that's where we see biblical fellowship really begins to happen. And then when trust is built, that's where we see people open up. You know, you can ask like hard questions to one another. You begin to share your life experiences and you walk away with biblical solutions, you know, to your life. And so I think it's important for us as we're coming along, we talk about, well, you know, connecting in groups. What does that mean? It means just building trust, building openness and transparency with one another. Now, today, what I want us to talk about is how do we serve in groups, you know, kind of serve one another, but also serve, you know, those that are around us. And kind of think about what Jesus said in Matthew 25. He says, for when I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was stranger, you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. And so I think about, you know, from that passage, why do we serve others? Well, you model the life of Christ when you serve, right? He says there, whatever you did for the least of these, you did also to me, right? And I mean, Dixie, when you think about that, you know, modeling the life of Christ, you know, whenever we're serving others, what does that make you think about?
Well, one of the things actually that I observed from afar of people who attended New Vision, because mm-hmm. My daughter was here attending New Vision and we still lived in West Tennessee. But what I saw modeled so much in their group life was how they did care for each other.
Yeah.
I mean, they were constantly just being so very thoughtful and helping each other out, not only growing in their faith, because they were doing that, but just that community of friendship that was true mm-hmm. and genuine.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like there was no hierarchy. Everyone was just in there trying to help each other,
yeah.
Which stands out to me because we've lived in a lot of different places, and every time you go, we're away from our families, and so many of us now today, we don't live in the communities in which we were raised.
That's right.
And how important family is, you know, our real family, but then even our extended family, which goes into the family of God. And I just really saw that displayed. But the main thing is that it gets our minds off of ourselves
yeah.
and more onto Jesus, and we're focusing on Him and expressing what He is to us as we serve other people.
Yeah.
And it really does help you grow your faith.
Yeah.
It does.
That, Jen, you've kind of, you know, you're seeing serving, you know, every day, you know, from a marital relationship. But, you know, whenever you think about serving others and modeling Christ, what do you kind of think about with that?
Well, first I would just say, back to Dixie's point, just looking at Jesus's life. And I think we look at Jesus's life and we see how He served people. But as in the context of what we're talking about today, serving in groups, I mean, He had a small group, right? Mm-hmm. And they mm-hmm. served together. They mm-hmm. served, you know, not only one another, but they served outwardly. They served mm-hmm. their community. And so I think that is a good model of that. But I think for me and for my small group, we've been together for a decade, since college.
Yeah.
And you know, it was modeled to us through our small group leader. Mm-hmm. So the small group couple that we had, they had a small group, and mm-hmm. we saw them serving. And so that was a beautiful model for us to observe. And so we kind of took on some of those character traits. But as we, you know, grew together and matured together, we served inside of the church. I mean, there's some of us who still serve consistently inside of the church, but also inside, you know, out into the community.
Yeah.
And so that's another thing. So there's different, I think when we talk about serving, there's different ways to do that.
Yeah.
Serving one another inside the church and then in the community. So,
you know, and that brings up an interesting thing because, you know, a lot of people may not know that are listening to this that you are actually our director of communications here at New Vision. And so kind of tell us real quick, what's been your journey, you know, as far as from where you began with this and how you kind of see that you're serving, you know, church as well as groups through what you do now?
Yeah, well, I would first and foremost say small groups and serving within my group, and with my group members has been a huge part of my spiritual formation. So I didn't come to know Jesus until the latter half of college. Mm-hmm. And so my best friend at the time, Keeley, she's been on the show. She works mm-hmm. here at New Vision. She led me to Jesus.
Yeah.
And so she invited me to church here. Mm-hmm. And so I got plugged in at the Point, the college ministry. And she invited me to serve with her. So yeah. we were welcoming people on Tuesday nights. And, you know, there's something that happens when you experience Jesus later in life. I don't know. I didn't, you know, have that acceptance of Christ when I was younger. So I don't really have that to compare it to. But later in life, it feels like just a veil that is removed. And so your life just feels, I don't know, just different.
Yeah.
And so I remember just wanting to just to go all in. And so whatever that looked like. So serving at the college ministry was just really important. And so we had a small group, and that was my first experience with small group because I didn't grow up with that. Mm-hmm. And so it seemed a little scary at first because what is this? I mean, I had groups of best friends growing up, but like that sort of like friend group is just different, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I served at the college ministry, and I served with children's ministry for a couple of years. And at that point in my life, I was working in the music industry. That's what I went to school here for. That's what I wanted to do. And
like sing?
No. So music business.
Oh, okay. Okay. So,
that was quick.
No. I am not a singer.
That
always the first question. Anytime I reveal that bit of information, I went to school for music business in the REM program here at MTSU. And that's the first question I get. Do you sing? No. Do not. Don't play an instrument.
DJ?
Nope. Wiki. Nope. No. Do not. Okay. DJ? None of it. Nope. So
we're kindred spirits.
You wanted to represent people. Did you want to represent, manage? Is that what?
Yeah. So I love problem solving.
Yeah.
And I love helping people. And so marketing in the music industry just felt like a really cool way to problem solve.
Yeah.
And so that's what I always wanted to do. And
cool.
So I did that for a few years and came to know the Lord. And so my heart was just being changed and softened. And I had my small group leaders at the time just saw some things in me and called some things out. And I knew I just was supposed to change courses. And
cool.
I just said, all right, Lord, whatever you want me to do. And so that led me to work here. And so I started on staff about 10 years ago. And I worked in our finance department. I was managing the church calendar. And so then I started managing social media. And that just kind of segued into, you know, a role on the communications team. And I loved it.
Yeah.
I love serving the church. And that's just been my heart for the past 10 years. And so now I get to manage the hands who are the creatives of the church. And we get to communicate and give people opportunities to step into ministry. So that's really fun.
I'm very thankful for all that they do, because I can have like, I have kind of like a creative mind. It's the execution of the creation that I'm not very good at.
Yeah.
And they are. They're very good. So we couldn't do anything that we do here. Anything that you see online or anything is because of the communications department.
That's right.
And we really appreciate
all
that. Yeah,
you've really stepped in and done that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, very, very well. And,
yep.
Well, I mean, we do really appreciate you.
Well,
and,
we have a great team. They are very good at what they do.
Mm-hmm. And it's been interesting watching, you know, they talk about in stories an arc of a character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your arc of leadership as well, of how you've kind of had to step into some areas of leadership and management, and seeing how you've progressed in that. It's been really good. Really good.
Well, I would say I have a lot of peers around me. I've gotten the fortunate opportunity to watch people around me do that really well. And so we have a lot of great leaders here on staff. And so I've just stolen everybody else's ideas and just try to model that. So
that's exactly right. Good, good. Well, let's continue talking through then. What are the benefits that we see to serving as a group? You know, we understand the why about modeling Christ, showing the love of Christ when we're serving others. But what are some of those benefits to serving as a group? Dixie, what do you kind of see are some of those benefits?
Well, first and foremost, I do think you learn a little more depth of a person when you're serving alongside them.
Yeah.
When you're in a group and you're, you know, focused on the matters at hand, whether it's Bible study or your discussion or whatever, that's kind of limited, you know? And when you're out and you're serving other people, you're engaging other people, you do learn a little bit more about their character and just things that they're like. But one of the best things for a group, I think, in general, in serving others together as a group, is that you are able to see Christ being displayed in other people, which strengthens your faith. And even like within your group, but also those that you serve. That's what's always happened to me.
Yeah.
Is like, you know, serving, I've served a lot of different people groups in my life, but every time you see Christ and you find Christ in all these people all over the world, out in the community.
Yeah.
And it's just, once again, makes it real and tangible.
Yeah.
You know, what we read and what we study in Scripture, it just makes it real and tangible when you're out there serving others.
You know, remember we've been reading as a staff that book, Jesus Christ, Disciple Maker.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about how, you know, whenever you hear something, you know, you remember 10% of it. Whenever you write something, you remember 50% of it.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever you do something, you know, kinetic learning, you're talking 90% of retention that you're doing. And so I think you're right. I mean, that you really start to engage deeper as you're serving and you're actually out going out and doing. So along with that as well could be, you know, you're strengthening relationships within the group. So, you know, Jenna, how have you kind of seen this strengthening of relationships within the group from just serving as a group?
Yeah, I would say so. Our group, some of our members, we serve with a local nonprofit, Portico.
Yeah.
That has been wildly relationally strengthening in our group.
Yeah.
Because you're focusing on serving those in your community who it doesn't become all about you.
Yeah.
Right. And so, I don't know. It's this intangible, you're seeing others serve, you're seeing Christ be displayed in them. It's just so encouraging to your faith. And when you see your best friend doing something hard, right? Because you're serving essentially women in very compromising situations. And you're seeing just how their lives are being changed by just saying yes, you know, giving some of your time.
Mm-hmm.
That was my thought, too, because it does open up those opportunities for gospel conversations, whatever they look like. Every time we get out of our own selves and serve others, it does allow that opportunity for the Lord to work in their lives through us and through others. So that's
and it's removing expectations because you just never know. I think going into serving, sometimes we have expectations of how it's going to go and how we're going to best serve, you know, fill in the blank. But the Lord always has a different plan, right? And it's always better, right? Mm-hmm. And it's always edifying to your spiritual growth, but also to somebody else's, you know? So
I also will say, I mean, this is not meant to be, this is not a political statement by any kind of means. I mean, I think this is a biblical type, you know, I mean, praise the Lord of what you guys are doing through Portico. Mm-hmm. I mean, because we're just seeing, I mean, now it's just been highlighted even more about, you know, we're seeing the potential overturn of, you know, Roe v. Wade. And, man, what celebration of life, you know, that's happening. So thank you guys, you know, I mean, just being there on the front lines, you know, doing that. That's such a powerful, powerful thing. Dixie, what would you say kind of is, you know, another area that you just see as a benefit to, you know, we have, you know, it leads to kind of these deeper relationships, deeper spiritual growth, strengthening relationships within the group. What would you say is another benefit that you just see?
Well, one of the things, even in my own life, that I learned some giftedness and ability that I didn't know that I had. Mm-hmm. And when you're freed up to just work together and you have that mindset of, I'm going to do whatever it takes because I'm serving the Lord, I'm not really trying to accomplish anything other than serving the Lord, then the Lord is, you're opened up to Him really working in your life, and you can discover ways in which the Lord has gifted you.
Yeah.
That not only you're using in that situation, but that you can continue to develop and use for His good and His glory. So that's...
And it takes the focus from me to we.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. How can we accomplish this for God's glory? And we're bringing together our time, our talents, you know, the gifts that God's given us in that. And so
I think it demonstrates, too, because you're going to run into hiccups, you know, with things when you're serving. And, you know, something could happen and maybe not go right. Well, then when you're working as a group, somebody's going to step in and figure something out. So it's really a model of how we're supposed to be living our lives.
Right.
Because it's not going to all be sweet roses all the time. We're going to have struggles and potholes in our life, and that's when we walk alongside each other.
Yes.
And where someone else is weak, we can be strong because our focus is on the Lord and doing what He would have us to do. So.
Boom. Yep. Awesome.
Good.
Dixie, tell us a couple of quick things that you just kind of know from a women's ministry that is coming up.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
That we can celebrate with.
You know, one of the things that I'm the most thankful for is the Lord working in my life and Him being my Lord. But I love spending time with women. And we have this summer, for the very first time, we have something that we've titled Lifted Up, which is a prayer and praise night. On July 15th. And we're so very excited. We're going to focus on some scripture. We're going to focus on some worship. And we're going to focus on some prayer. It's going to be a great night. And then we're going to have a little fun afterwards. So everybody can get registered for that. That'd be great. You can find that at newvisionlife.com/events.
Yeah.
And then the next thing is our women's retreat coming up in October 14th through the 16th. It's going to be at Paris Landing State Park. We've never been here before, but it's a brand new lodge.
So
I went
exciting.
To see it last week.
Yeah.
I know, it's beautiful. I mean, it's a beautiful setting, but it's a beautiful facility. We've got a great speaker, and it's just going to be a nice time. One of my favorite things from a young adult was going to church women's retreats.
Mm-hmm.
And most of my growth in my spiritual self has been from me observing and living with multi-generational ladies of all different ages. And at a retreat, it's just the best time for that because you're kind of the distractions are gone.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And you can just really build those relationships with each other, learn from each other, and just draw closer to the Lord. So we're excited.
And I'll just say for any ladies that go, if they really want to, you know, just make my day, they can like pick up Trollinger's barbecue and bring it back.
I know.
You know, and so.
I know. Sally Lane's Candies is there. I mean, there's an Eiffel Tower in Paris, Tennessee.
There is an Eiffel Tower.
There is. It's a 2-scale. It's a great photo op.
Only in West Tennessee.
I'm telling you. Right. Hey, and there's one little story. So when I think it was Disney they released Madeline, a cartoon movie or something, several years ago.
Okay.
They searched all over the United States to find a place to, like, host the release of it.
Yeah.
And they chose Paris, Tennessee. And so they came in, and they had these gigantic jumbotrons in the park that's there by the Eiffel Tower. My two youngest daughters were in a choir in their school.
Uh-huh.
They had little Madeline costumes.
Okay.
Wow.
And sang. It was like this big, I think it was called Madeline in Paris, actually. Was the name of the movie.
Paris, Tennessee.
And, yeah, they went to Paris, Texas, but Paris, Texas has a cowboy head on theirs. Ours does not.
Okay.
It's a real Eiffel Tower. So it's a neat place. Neat little community. But we're really looking forward to that time just to get away from our normal and to be with each other and focus on the Lord. So,
awesome.
Yep, great.
Jenna, what would you say kind of the best ways for people to just get connected, you know, from a communication standpoint?
Yeah.
Here's a chance. Tell everybody, here's your best way to just get connected to what's going on here.
NewVisionLife.com.
That's it.
NewVisionLife.com.
That's it.
We have a new website.
When is
this?
Out. It's launching at the end of this month.
Okay.
So be on the – this is information to the community right now.
That's right.
Be on the lookout.
Wait. So this is hot and fresh.
This is hot and fresh.
This is first time this is being announced. This is released right here.
Right.
All right.
On the podcast.
Drive-thrus and discipleship.
We're talking about the website.
That's right. And, you know, communicating all things. I mean, it takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
And a lot of thought.
Yes.
And they do a really good job. But, you know, if we have one location that we go to.
It's the website.
Yeah. NewVisionLife.com. That's the best way to find it.
You can also follow us on social media at New Vision Life, or you can subscribe to our weekly email where you'll get to hear from our pastor on a weekly basis. So, there we go.
Oh, so guys,
what do we
get
have
connected.
Here, Tom?
All right. Now it's time for our ribs. Listen, this has been going good. You know, I'm kind of excited about how we are so far because we've seen progression. You know, like last season we started with donuts and we started like top of the line and then we just kind of worked our way down. But we're kind of seeing some different scores. So Mission Barbecue so far, they're at 4.14. Jim and Nick's last week, 4.625. I mean, we're getting down into the decimals, y'all.
Wow.
So. And 3 out of 4 said that they would eat a whole rack. So for
Jim and Nick's. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was
so we're
good.
Doing them 1 to 5 or one?
1 to 5. Remember the glory scale?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Glory scale is 1, kind of hands in your pocket, you know, and this is your first time, Jenna, doing the glory scale. But 1's kind of hands in the pocket. And then 5 is all out, you know, celebrating everything. So. This week we are judging Texas Roadhouse, okay?
Oh, wow.
And so I've got a half rack of their fall-off-the-bone ribs here that are don't mind the container by any kind of means. But, we're going to split this up. But we have our areas to judge. We'll make sure you got a paper towel. Sorry, we're on
your wet naps. I've got one. Yeah, that's good.
Ribs in the morning. Boy, you can't beat that.
I know.
You know what
protein.
I mean?
Protein. Good for you.
That's right. So let's.
Oh, I smell them.
You good.
They smell good.
So we're, of course, using Memphis Barbecue Network's judging categories. So first, appearance. Now, once again, don't look at that. Look at the ribs themselves from an appearance standpoint. And we are judging spare ribs that have dry rub on them. So. What do y'all think? Kind of how they look, 1 to 5. Does it look appealing? Does it look burned compared maybe to the inside? Does it kind of look like there's a good good enough spices that are on there? What would you kind of say, 1 to 5?
Looks a little crispy.
Looks a little crispy.
Obviously there's some rub.
Yeah.
I do see like a bone, which makes me think it doesn't have a whole lot of meat on it. Mm. But we'll see when we cut it.
Now,
to,
I'll just say, from years of rib experience,
okay,
you know, being a connoisseur of ribs,
wow,
you do, whenever you cook them, you want to have a little bit of the pullback from the bone.
Oh.
Okay.
So it bone, so that means, seeing, that seeing the off. End of the bone is okay.
Cool.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Good. So. So what would you kind of say? 1 to 5, what would you kind of say? And, well, and be as critical as you want to be, or be as celebratory as I am, as you want to be.
I would say, like, just looking at, if I was going to eat ribs,
yes,
and to look at them,
yes,
I would say, like, a 3.
3.
Yeah. I would say 3, 3.5.
Yeah.
You got to pick one. 3 to
3.5.
3.5. 3.5. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to split the difference. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say 3.25.
Okay.
Because I agree. It kind of just, it doesn't really just, you know, say eat me, you know, but it's, but it does, it is, there is a good look to it, you know, yeah, what I mean? So,
so, but do y'all have preferences on dry versus wet rub? Wet rub? Is that right?
Well, sauce. Dry sauce. Rub versus sauce.
I kind of like, okay, a combination of both.
Yeah, okay. I like a combo. I can get with a combo. Mm-hmm. You know, I
kind of start with
I
the
really
dry
would
rub
prefer
and
dry.
With,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And if I have to dip, I will. But I've always heard, if you have to dip a good rib, you
it's
know,
not good.
It may not be good. Oh, so.
Yeah. Okay.
Just, a, you know, but who knows?
Y'all are educating me. I mean, yeah, I'm from West Tennessee, but I don't know the things. Wow. Mm. So I'm getting a lesson today.
Well, I do know
You're about
this.
Strawberries, right?
I am about strawberries.
We got, yeah, a strawberry festival.
West Tennessee Strawberry Festival. Yeah. Just
we got
happened.
Teapot Festival.
No, they went in Trenton. In, yeah, Paris, they have catfish.
They have, yeah,
ooh,
the,
yeah,
catfish,
the
festival.
Catfish, yeah.
Fish
is there
fry.
A fish fry.
Fish
that's
fry.
Right.
Yeah.
World's largest, mm-hmm, fish fry.
It's like some tens of thousands of pounds of fish that they fry every last week of April of every year. It's great.
Yeah.
Big parade. Lots going on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's good.
Yeah.
But you got to like fried fish.
You do. You got to, mm-hmm, like fried fish. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to. Martin had the soybean festival.
True.
So we celebrated.
What was Milan?
I don't really remember. Milan had like.
I don't remember.
It wasn't like a food thing. Now, yeah, I'll just say, like, some of the years that I lived there, they tried to do, like, a Dog Days Festival.
Oh, because your mascot, you were the Bulldogs.
Bulldogs, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, they did, like, some stuff downtown, like, yeah. So, I mean, there was that. Bradford had doodle soup.
Yes,
the doodle
I soup. Do that.
The
doodle
That's where soup. My parents are from, so, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm, which is unique in and of itself.
Right.
So, mm-hmm, yeah. All right, well, hey, let's get in here. Tenderness of it. Now, I'm gonna kind of start to. Sorry.
Can you walk everybody through what you're cutting it with?
I think that's a great idea.
Yes, this is my pocket knife. Every man ought to have a pocket knife on him.
I feel
right?
like this is.
Oh, look, that's kind of tender right there.
It is.
When okay. he's cutting through, it's just oh, kind of wow. falling apart.
Yeah. Ooh,
it is
okay.
Falling off the bone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying. Get his. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
All right, well, I think we're gonna have 3. Maybe John, we may have 1 for you over there. Sorry. We'll kind of have some meat around.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you.
Did you wash your hands?
Yeah.
Better
sometime
yet, did
today.
You wash that pocket knife? That's okay.
Sometime today.
Yeah, I'm a country girl. It's all right.
Yeah, that's right. Work
eaten,
comp here.
I've eaten lots of dirt before.
All right, now tenderness. You're supposed to like shake it, and it's supposed
very,
to stay.
Well,
it's falling
mine
off.
Fell off the
Yours
bone.
Is falling off.
Mine
okay.
totally fell off the bone.
Fell off of the bone.
Yeah, so but it's that's good to me.
So that is a potential for being overcooked. Just kind oh. of a heads up
that it's falling off.
That it's like completely falling okay. off of the bone. So maybe.
Well, I did think that when you cut through because it's still supposed to look kind of pink, and this doesn't look.
Yeah.
Pink.
So yeah, what I mean, would you kind of say tenderness? Was it?
It feels tender.
1 to 5.
Okay, tenderness.
Looking for firmness, but easy separation of the meat. Should mm-hmm. be easy to chew. And if it's falling off the bone, it's overcooked.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
A mild shake should still leave them attached. Now, mm-hmm. I'll say, I'm giving a mild shake, and mine is
right.
still
Well, I'm
on.
Chewing. Mine's and it's really good.
Oh, okay.
All right,
I mean,
so
it's
I'm
going to
give
tender.
It a 5.
Yeah, it's very tender.
What about you, Jenna?
Well, it fell off the bone completely, but let me taste it.
Hmm. John, you want some? We got a little bit. Okay.
That is a great flavor.
It does have it. And it's tender.
Now, hold on taste.
Okay.
Tenderness.
Okay. Tender. It is super tender.
Super tender.
Mm-hmm.
Is it too tender?
Oh.
It can never be too tender.
All right. So what you got?
I would say it's a 5.
5? Mm-hmm. What about you, Jenna?
4.5.
4.5. Here
Just
we go.
Just to be different.
Okay. right, taste of the injury. Or injury. Taste. That's an injury. Now, I'll say, usually when you get these at Texas Roadhouse, they have sauce on them.
Okay.
But.
This doesn't have a sauce on it.
It doesn't have a sauce
on it. So you don't have that flavor.
You don't have that flavor with it.
But the seasoning that's on it is
good.
It's not overpowering, so right. You still taste the meat. So I think it has a really good taste myself. Mm-hmm. And it's not super, super saucy messy either.
I don't love a good messy rib. I guess that's kind of the point of it though.
Mm-hmm. That's why we got paper towels, that's for sure. what do you think?
I think it's delicious. I don't think it's too overpowering. I appreciate that. I can actually taste it, which is great.
Yeah.
It's just really good.
I think it's really good. I would actually order these.
All right. Well, taste of entry. What would you say? 1 to 5?
I would say a 4.
4?
Yeah.
I'd say 4.5.
I'm going to say 4 as well. Just because I feel like I've had...
Better.
Hmm. It's good. I'll say it's good. But the... Like a barbecue taste isn't coming through too strong.
Right.
Yeah.
At all. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like nothing.
I'm getting more of the meat than I am the rub.
Right. Yeah.
So, question. Could you eat a whole rack of these?
I could.
Whole rack?
Was this a half rack?
This was a half rack.
I could eat a whole rack.
Maybe for dinner if I had a light lunch.
All right.
And I would say this. If you're not like a super spicy kind of person, and sometimes ribs can be kind of spicy, this would be a good choice.
That's right.
Because it's got a good flavor. It's got the quality of it is really good, but it's not over spiced.
That's right.
So
that's
not
exactly
hot.
Right.
So just so
I
you
could
know,
eat a whole rack of these. Yeah. I mean, I'll probably say that for every single rib.
Yeah. But if you really like that barbecue flavor, then you might be a little disappointed with these because there's not as much
barbecue
flavor. If this were hot and spicy, it would be a 5, and I could probably do the whole thing.
Yeah. So you're saying with a no?
But I love hot and spicy, yeah.
All right, so we got 2 out of 3 then on that. All right. Well, listen, hey, this has been great. Jenna, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dixie, thank you for coming back.
It's been lovely.
It's been a great episode, and blessings on your marriage going forward.
Yeah, I'm glad she's a problem solver. She likes that.
I love it.
You're going to get a lot of practice.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Thanks, Dixie.
Solve all the problems.
You're welcome.
Just don't go to bed angry.
That's the main thing. Solve that problem first.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening, and we will talk to you next time. God bless. See you. Bye.